It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Simply stated, that just means that every season has its, events. And this time of year, just looking out through September, just a kind of a quick overview, sometime this month, mostly the hummingbirds will be gone. The male hummingbird, I saw my last male hummingbird at my feeder on the 29th of August. That's a bit later than average, but nonetheless, I have not seen another male since then. That doesn't mean that one won't sneak through, but presently it's all females and juveniles. And looking back, the average, so for September, last hummingbirds period, the last hummingbirds I have seen over the years averages September 17th. And I have 30 some observations of last seen birds. The earliest I've ever seen my last hummingbird was the 5th of September in 2015. And the latest I've ever seen a hummingbird in, I did not see this latest ever. This one came from our former engineer, Dan Haug, who reported a hummingbird on the 18th of October in 2008. I have October 3rd in 2010 and October 8th in 2017. But other than that, all of my dates are in September, and the average is the 17th. So somewhere around the middle of the month of September, we will see our last hummingbirds. And just to let you know, and Laura Erickson would back me up on this, this time of year, you can up the sugar content. So all summer long, you've probably been going like one cup of sugar to four cups of water. Now you can go one cup of sugar to three cups of water. Jump the sugar, and it will not keep the hummingbirds in your neighborhood. Nothing you can do. You could give them whiskey and they still wouldn't stay. They're gonna go south. They will not stay because you're providing them extra energy food. They're going to go south. They will not remain because you have great food out there. So keep your hummingbird feeders clean and full. This time of year, they can get a little cloudy because of the temperature. But if you clean them fairly often and keep them filled up, the hummingbirds will definitely appreciate that. And you will probably see hummingbirds here until the middle of the month for sure, and maybe a little bit beyond that. So do your best to help the hummingbirds. Speaking of birds, I've been seeing flocks of northern flickers, flocks of robins. This is the time of year, you know, you've had robins around all summer. There's been a pair of robins nesting in your yard, in your garage, under your deck. Somewhere there's been a robin. This time of year, they gather into flocks. And so you may see them. You may see a dozen or more. But there will be times when you will see no robins and you will think, oh, the robins have migrated. Well, they haven't migrated. They simply gathered into these flocks of 10 to 20 birds and they're wandering around the countryside looking for fruit. And what they're finding this time of year are, the high bush cranberry. I have a shrub called black chokeberry, which is a bit like the choke cherry. And over the last week, the robins came in and cleaned those out. They took all the fruits off of the chokeberry this last week. They will soon, they will turn to their less favorite foods. So birds aren't much different from us. If you've got, you know, if you've got ice cream in the freezer and you've got rice cakes in the drawer, you're probably going to eat the ice cream first and the rice cakes later. And the robins are the same. They're going to eat the flavorful, sweet, tasty berries first, and then they're going to go to the less flavorful, less sweet, less tasty berries later. And that means that the highbush cranberries and the sumac berries and some of those will persist well into the fall, before they begin to get eaten. And speaking of berries, the winterberry or northern holly, black alder, is just starting to turn. So the berries have been green up until this week, and this week they were just getting a little blush. They were starting to show a little bit of orange. They will get ripe the month through the month of September, and by the end of the month of September, they will probably be food for white-throated sparrows and robins that will eat those as they become edible. And they are not ever going to get edible for you or I. They just are never going to taste good enough for us to go after them. The Canada geese and the crows are very active in an oat field along Blue Heron Drive. They have discovered the oats that have been spilled as the farmer combined the oats, and they're dining in those fields in big flocks every day. There are a pair of sandhill cranes that are also frequenting the oat field, though they are probably not eating the oats. They're probably eating the grubs that are in the ground beneath the oats. But I got a good look at the sandhill cranes the other day, and they were a mixture of red and gray in their feathers. And during the summer, when they're here on their summer grounds, they find these little places where iron-tinted water is boiling up from springs here and there. You've seen them if you've walked along a stream somewhere. You've seen these little red deltas. That iron-rich soil is boiling up from springs below. The iron becomes soluble in the water, and it floats around. The sandhill cranes pick up that red mud, and they rub it into their feathers, which gives them sort of a reddish-brown color all summer long. And the sandhill cranes that I saw this last week were sort of a mixture of gray, which is their normal color, and this red, which is the dye that they put in their color in their feathers over the summer. So they're sort of getting out of that phase. And I've not seen them on their wintering grounds, and I don't know if they carry that habit through to their wintering grounds or not, but up here and right now, they are sort of a mixture of red and gray. Flying insects, darners, both blue and green darners seen this past week. I was out on a hayfield, or I was out in the oat field early one morning, I think it was Sunday morning, with my grandson, and we were kicking up lots of green darners, and I wondered if they might have just spent the winter, or the winter, the night there resting. Green darners are migratory, and this is the time of year when you will see them moving through. They will also be the first dragonflies you'll see in the spring, and that will come along, late April, early May. I saw some monarch butterflies this past week, and I had Ann Gapinski and Kyle Pearson, both who work up at the Marcel Experimental Forest, had sent me notes telling me about a great number of morning cloak butterflies. The morning cloak is the size of a monarch, but it's black or very, very dark brown. What you're going to see and what you're going to think of when you see it is, look at that big black butterfly. Well, it's neither black nor, well, it is a butterfly, but it's black with a cream-colored border around its wings. And those guys are going to overwinter as adults, along with the Comptons and Milberts tortoiseshells, and two or three varieties of commas. The common or eastern comma and the gray comma will both be part of that group that will overwinter as adults. So they will be among the first flies that were, or first butterflies that we see in the spring. Speaking of flies, this is the time of year when I mark the last of the deer flies. And yesterday I killed two. I thought that I had outlived them this year and that I was done with them, but nope, yesterday I killed two, and I will kill more if I am given the opportunity. I do not like deer flies. I do not like them, Sam, I say. Anyway, keep away from the deer flies and go after them when they come around you. A couple of things that I targeted with my daughter and my grandson were two of the little orchids that often go unnoticed. And one is the tessellated rattlesnake plantain, and the other is the downy rattlesnake plantain. And both of these are in the genus Goodyera, and they are lovely. Their leaves are the stunning part. The downy rattlesnake plantain has a very dark green leaf that is reticulated with these bright white lines. And the tessellated plantain is a paler green, and the lines are not nearly as distinct. But the leaves, when looked at very closely, you'll see these tiny white lines within the tessellated rattlesnake plantain plants as well. And they grow under pines. They're done flowering for the year, but they will be back again next year in the same spot. So if you found them, go back and see them again next spring. Among the plants that are blooming but soon to be done, tall sunflowers are on their way down, evening primrose on their way down, mullein on its way down. Those are the flowers that were in my yard that were kind of in decline, let's say. Those flowers that are still blooming, Jerusalem artichoke just began to bloom. Miscanthus, which is a tall decorative grass, has just begun to flower. Jewelweed is probably, well, it is in decline, but it still has many, many flowers on it. Among the asters, the purple stem, the flat-topped, and the goblet or calico asters, purple-stemmed asters, big blue flowers, hairy stems, the flat-topped aster, white flowers, hairy stems. Seems like hairy stems are common among the asters. The calico asters have small white flowers and hairy stems. The flat-topped and the calico asters, the difference really is the size of the flower. The calico is smaller, and the flat-topped is larger. The flat-topped, most of the flowers are at the same height. They're all kind of like a big plate of of white flowers. And on the calico aster, you're going to have lots and lots of these flowers that are probably under 3/4 inch across, and they're going to be on these branches, panicles coming up near the top of the plant, and you'll see this big spray of white flowers that is, rather than being sort of horizontal like the flat tops, these are more vertical in their arrangement, so check out the asters. Give them a chance. You know, they're a little confusing, but you can figure it out. Just give them a close look and check out Minnesota Wildflowers, and you'll be on your way to getting the answers you're trying to find. Among the plants that I'm seeing that are beginning to show real signs of fall, pin cherries, red maples, woodbine, the bush honeysuckle, and the spreading dogbane all are definitely showing signs of coming into senescence, into the color of fall. And as I sit here and look out the window at KAXE Studios, I can see a basswood that is beginning to show some change. And you may have noticed, if you haven't noticed yet, the balsam poplar, the balm of Gilead, is quite brown. Now, it's the natural color of the tree is sort of a splotchy reddish brown, and they really show up right now. They're really getting quite ostentatious in their color. You're driving down the road. These guys like water. They're going to be growing in the ditches, in the ditch bottoms. They're going to look like an aspen popple. They have rougher bark than the young popple, but they have these brownish-looking leaves, sort of reddish-brown leaves that are pretty obvious right now if you're out driving around. So check those out. Among those trees that are definitely showing some color right now, the red maples, there was a wonderful picture from the shores of Rabideau Lake up northwest of Grand Rapids, and the maples there were stunning. By the end of this month, by the end of September, we should be at peak of color for the red maples. That should occur around the 25th of the month. And so if you're planning on bringing some friends up, the last week in September is always a great time to come up to this area and check out color. If you want color before that, head further north. It'll be just as colorful up there, a little bit ahead of here. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.